The sermon this morning is a very simple sermon. It's aimed at exhortation. To always have another reminder of what we need to be doing in the kingdom. You see, being part of the Lord's church and being part of the kingdom of God is not just about sitting on a pew three times a week. But it is about having an actual, literal, practical, and profound influence on the people that we live life with side by side every day. Whether it be our neighbors, or those in the workplace that work along beside us, those who are part of our family, those who are our friends out in the world, those in the prisons. We are to live our lives in such a way that we leave a profound influence upon their lives. And the verse that was read for us a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, the Bible here teaches that Christians, believers, obedient believers in Jesus, are the salt of the earth. Now, those of us today who claim to be Christians need to understand that we are the salt of the earth. In fact, I believe that it is essential that we be the salt of the earth. If it were not essential, what Jesus said here would be pointless and meaningless. But I have no choice in the matter. I have to be the salt of the earth as a child of God. And I believe also that there are many who are failing to be what Jesus said they were. Jesus, remember, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." He didn't say, "Be the salt of the earth." He said, "You are the salt of the earth." And people are failing to live up to that. Maybe some don't really understand what it means to be the salt of the earth. But since Jesus says that's what we are, I believe it's crucial that we understand exactly what he means by that. You are the salt of the earth. What are you talking about? That's the point of our lesson this morning. And as we consider this statement, "You are the salt of the earth," I want us to notice three things about the life of the disciple. And you're a disciple. I'm a disciple. So when I say the disciple's life, I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about my life. And as we think about this idea of being the salt of the earth, I want us to notice in the first place this morning the disciple's character. Jesus says here that the disciples' character is like salt. If we can understand the character of salt, then we can understand the character of the disciple of Christ. And really, when you think about salt, there are several things that can be said about the character or the characteristics of salt. For example, salt is distinctive. Now, there is a distinct difference between salt and what it is applied to. When you put salt on meat, the salt is not the meat, and the meat is not the salt. There is a distinct difference between the salt and the meat. And many people understand that we put salt on food, but the salt is different from the food. But the power of the salt really lies in this difference. Those who are Christians, those who are children of God, just like salt, we are to be different and distinct from the world, different from the world that's around us. In fact, the power of our lives and the power of our influence lies in the fact that we are different and that we are distinct from the world. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says that we are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You see, we are to live in the world. The salt is in the meat. It's mixed all up in there. We're to live in the world, but we are not to be of the world or like the world. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to live in the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, we can't go out of the world. We live in the world. We live among adulterers and those who are immoral and liars and thieves. But we are not like the world. You see, we're here to influence the world, not to be influenced by the world. We're here to try to get the world to conform to us, not the other way around. And there is a problem with some Christians in the society. They become too much like the world. They want to be too much like their friends or their neighbors or their coworkers. Trying too hard to be like them and not hard enough to get them to be like us. Paul said, do not be conformed to the world. And when Christians conform to the world, it's devastating to the church of the Lord. We have to be more careful when it comes to the movies we watch. The entertainment that we choose. We have to be careful about the words and phrases that we say. And on the list goes. To the world, these things are really meaningless. To the world, it's just a normal thing to, when you get off on Friday night, to go down and get you a six-pack or head to the bar or whatever. To the world, it's just a normal thing to party on weekends. Now, we partied this weekend, but we did good partying. You know what I mean. We got together as Christians and had a good time. But to the world, partying means going out and drinking and carousing. And they think we're weird because that's just a normal thing. I mean, after all, isn't that what everybody does? I remember. Just thought of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4. He said in verse 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them with the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil. Well, they think you're weird. We're weird. Well, we are different. The Bible uses the word special or unique or peculiar. Titus 2, 12 and 14. But we try to influence them and not let them influence us. Salt is distinctive from the world. We're in the world, but we're distinctive from the world. Another thing about salt. Salt penetrates. Salt really inserts a new quality, a new substance in life. It changes whatever it's put on. And by the way, once you put it on, you can't take it out. I learned that the hard way a few times, cooking things. Because it almost inserts a new quality in that. That's the way the Christian should be. We ought to live in such a way that we actually penetrate the world. Not let the world penetrate us, but that we penetrate and change the world and influence it toward things that are better. We ought to make a difference with the life that we live. Christians are not called to crawl up in a cave or to hide behind the bush, but we ought to get out there in life, get out there in the world and make a difference for what is right. Influence those who are around us. Salt spreads. That's another characteristic of salt. It spreads, doesn't it? When I put salt in my green beans, do I have to take every green bean out individually and put a little salt on each green bean? No, you just pour some salt in the pot and it spreads, right? And many people understand and know that just a sprinkle of salt can have a very widespread effect. And that's the way we ought to be as children of God. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Have a widespread effect. Many are not spreading out like they should. There are too many who don't share their faith with other people. People they've known for years are surprised when they find out, oh, you're a member of this church. And we need to be speaking to people about Jesus Christ, bringing it up in everyday conversation. Faith, you see, Romans 10:17 tells us, faith is necessary unto salvation. And we want these folks to be saved. Well, faith is necessary for their salvation. Well, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the Word of God. And we need to be teaching them the Word of God. Sharing the Word of God with anyone we have opportunity and create opportunities. With anyone you know. Remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, I love the attitude here where these folks, they're being told not to speak about Jesus and not to speak in this name. And the apostles replied by saying, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter said, we can't keep our mouths shut about that. We're so excited about this. We just can't keep quiet. We've got to speak about it. You threaten our lives, those in prison, we've got to speak. The truth becomes a burning within our heart, or it should. Remember the prophet in the Old Testament that decided he's going to shut his mouth and not prophesy anymore? He said, it just burns within my bones. It should just come natural to us to bring up spiritual things in everyday conversation with those in the world. Don't keep the treasures and blessings in Christ to yourself. Spread it around. Spread it out. Share it with everybody. You know, an atheist once said, if I believed what you Christians say you believe, that there is an eternal hell, he said, I would crawl on my bare knees over broken glass, night and day, to warn people of the impending judgment. He said, if I really believed that there was an eternal hell like you folks say there is, well, you couldn't shut me up. I'd be out there if I had to crawl on broken glass on my bare knees to save people, to warn people about this coming day. That's the character of the Christian. It's the character of salt. Penetrates, spreads, influences. But as we consider the salt of the earth, we notice the disciples' character. Number two, we notice the disciples' calling. You see, we are called out of the world. The word church, ecclesia, literally means the called out. We are called out of the world and placed into Christ, but for a purpose. Several purposes, including in that is the good works, Ephesians 2:10. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Titus 2:14 says the same thing. But we have a calling, and part of that calling is to share the Word of God. You know, salt is generally applied to certain things. Sometimes it's applied to food to make it taste better. That's what we usually use salt for. But salt is also, at times, applied to certain meats for the purpose of preserving them. Salt is a preserver. As Christians, we are to salt the earth. This is our place to salt. The world is bland and tasteless, spiritually speaking. The world is decaying and rotting. The world is corrupted and foul. And so every purpose of salt, whether it's to flavor the food or whether it's to preserve the food, we do both. We strive to preserve and to flavor the world that is around us, add taste to it. And don't be shy with it. You can't oversalt the earth when it comes to spiritual truths. You know, I believe some Christians live as if they were already in heaven. We're already in heaven. You see, when we get to heaven, there's really not going to mean work to do. It's rest, right? Eternal rest. Don't we use that phrase? Eternal rest. That's a biblical concept. But see, the trouble is, we're not in heaven yet. Right now, there's some salting that needs to be done. But some people live as though they were already safe and secure from all the harm and all the labor. And maybe, in a sense, that's a downside to living in such a blessed society as we do. We really don't pay enough attention to the world and the earth and all the salting that needs to be done. We're too busy with all the blessings that we have. And we need to stop pretending that we're already in heaven and that there's no work to do, and we need to get busy salting the earth. Get busy being what the Lord said we were, the salt of the earth. We're not called upon to salt heaven. We're not called upon to salt hell or to salt the Hadean world. We're called upon to salt the earth. And we need to be busy doing that. You know, there's a sense in which the church is a salt factory. And the world is the marketplace. But there's too much salt being stored and locked in the warehouse. And we need to start moving the inventory. We're overstocked. We need to get the salt out there. We need to get the truth out there to people. Teach people. We've got tracts. We've got bulletins. We've got tapes. We've got all kinds of ways that we provide to teach people. Sometimes people complain, well, why ain't the church doing anything? Why don't you have any ideas to do this? And why don't you, the church, buy some more of that or do this? Why don't the men ever talk about this? When there's tracts collecting cobwebs in the back of the foyer. I'm not necessarily talking about here. But it can happen here in any church. People complain and the men don't talk about enough spiritual things. And we got religious tracts in drawers. We've got books to have home Bible. We've got stuff all over the place. Collecting cobwebs. See, it's not about the men deciding to buy this or to buy that. It's about the Christian saying, I'm going to take it and I'm going to go out there and use it. I'm going to take that salt shaker and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what the Lord said I was supposed to do. I'm going to be what the Lord said I am, the salt of the earth. So it takes motivation upon my part as an individual, you see, to do what the Lord has called upon me to do. Moving the inventory. There are people dying in their sins. There are people bogged down with depression. People lost with no real meaning to their lives. Christ has the answer to all that. And we can bring them that answer through being the salt. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's not that we have no place to salt. There's plenty of harvest out there. There's plenty of labor to do. It's just, am I going to do it? Or am I going to sit around and complain about others who aren't doing enough? 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Lord said there, be ye steadfast, immovable, always, underscore that word, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The earth is the place to be salted. We need to be busy supplying the salt. It's our job. It's our responsibility. Nobody else is going to do it. We have to do it as the disciples of Christ. Matthew 5:13 speaks about our mission, our calling. Salt of the earth. I mean, notice the critical point here again. We are the salt of the earth, not the salt of heaven. We can't do anything to penetrate or to flavor or to preserve heaven. Any relationship whatsoever that we have with heaven is a gift from heaven. But we are called upon to salt the earth, those people around us. But there are two things that are necessary before we can salt the earth. Two things that are essential. Number one, we must have salt in ourselves. Kind of goes along with what the Lord taught about getting the speck out of your eye before you remove the plank from your brother's eye. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 50, salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. How can we expect to salt the world if we have no salt within ourselves? If we're not reading, studying, learning the Word of God, praying, doing all those things for ourselves, how are we going to help the world do those things? How can we expect to get others to obey the gospel if we ourselves are not obedient to the gospel? How can we expect to get others to be righteous when we ourselves are not righteous? How can we expect others to come to worship services when we ourselves don't regularly come? Listen, this is a true story here. Years ago, I was preaching in a particular church, and I won't say any names, but we was having a gospel meeting, and we had some visitors that night for the gospel meeting, and so we got to talking to them like we do and asked them who they are, where they're from. Are you from the guest? We know so-and-so. We know so-and-so. So-and-so wasn't there that night. You know where so-and-so was? They was at their kid's ball game. Here are some people who came to services because these folks invited them to come, and when they came, those folks weren't even there. They were at the ball game. Is that salting the earth? We didn't tell them, by the way, that they were at the ball game. We knew they were, but we didn't tell the visitors that. We've got to have salt in ourselves. And then, once we have the salt in ourselves, we have to spread the salt. The Christian needs to realize that this salt is useful and necessary. It's essential to the world. Nothing else, there is nothing else that can salt the earth. Only us. We are the world's Bible, the song we sang a few moments ago. There are no substitutes. There are no equals. We are the salt of the earth. And if we fail to spread the salt, nobody else can. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That's how we spread the salt. Out there answering folks, teaching folks, with our speech, with our lives. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, every creature, every one of them. Everybody needs some salt. We need to have salt in ourselves. We need to fulfill our mission by scattering that salt abundantly into the world. And so Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And we learn a lot about the disciple here. We see the disciple's character. Number two, we've seen the disciple's calling. And then finally, this morning, we see in this statement, the disciple's carefulness. You know, in this passage of Matthew 5, 13 to 14, when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, Jesus made a statement that shows me that there is an imminent danger. Maybe imminent is not the word, but there is a real possibility of danger here. There's a real danger here. There is the danger of the salt losing its flavor. Now remember, I'm the salt. There's a danger of me losing my flavor. There's a danger of the Christian becoming useless. And not only just useless, but actually becoming destructive. The lazy Christian isn't just useless, but he's destructive. His influence and example brings others down. Souls being lost that perhaps he could have taught had he not been lazy. It's not just being useless, but it's being destructive. Bland, flavorless, so we've got to be careful. Now listen, salt by nature doesn't lose its flavor. Not really. Salt is salty, period. But in the time of Christ, the salt of Palestine was gathered in such a way that oftentimes dirt and other impurities would get mingled in with it, which left the salt pretty much useless and good for nothing. In fact, it actually destroyed the fertility of the soil. And men of that day, they understood that. That's why they threw it on the ground or on the paths. Jesus said to be trodden underfoot by men. They would throw it on the pathways where men walked to keep the weeds and grass from growing in those areas. The salt would actually destroy the plant life in those areas. If they were to throw it out into the field, it would destroy the crop. And so you see, salt that loses its flavor, lazy Christians aren't just useless, but they're actually destructive to the kingdom of the Lord. And so when we lose our flavor, we become useless and destructive. The picture here is really of a backslider. The Christian who loses his flavor and saltiness and testimony, if you will. That is the teaching that he does out there. When a Christian becomes lazy and loses his zeal for Christ, he becomes as useless as that old corrupted salt. And he's of no value to the Lord. He's of no value to the world. And he may as well be cast out and trodden underfoot under the feet of men. That's what the Lord said. And he destroys the fertility of others. He becomes a stumbling block by not salting others. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Somehow I messed that one. But God said, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Peter said, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than for the beginning." And so there is an imminent danger. There's a real possibility of me losing my flavor. It's possible to lose your soul after having been saved, isn't it? And so I have to be very careful, don't I? Because when this happens, others are destroyed. And we'll have to face the wrath and the judgment of God. Jesus said there in Matthew 5:13, "He will be cast out." The salt that loses his flavor, the Christian loses his zeal and loses his fire, loses his purpose. And he'll be cast out of the kingdom of heaven. He'll be cast out of the blessings of Christ. He'll be cast out of any hope of going to heaven. If somebody doesn't flavor the world by their life and influence, then God has no use for them and he will cast them out. But you know the sad thing is, some people are cast out and they don't even know it. Do you know that's sad? They go on being nominal Christians. They go on filling their pew. They go on doing this, that, but they're lost. They think they're doing, "I'm just doing enough to get by." And that's a real danger, isn't it? To be cast out and not even know it. That's why we need to be careful. That's why Paul told them in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Continue to give yourself a self-examination. Make sure you're living the way we ought to live. Make sure you're being what Christ said you are, the salt of the earth. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." That tells me that those who are not faithful unto death will not receive the crown of life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we will have to give an answer for the things done in the body, whether good or bad, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So if I become lazy and useless, if I become flavorless and unflavored, I'll have to answer to Christ for that. And so I need to be very careful examining myself on a daily basis to make sure I'm doing the work I need to be doing in the Lord. Because I don't want to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," on that final day. So there is a great danger of becoming flavorless. We've got to be careful. Careful that we don't allow our business or our jobs or our activities or our hobbies or our rest time or our TV time or anything else to hinder us from doing the work of the Lord, spreading the salt in an unflavored and lost world. And so with these few words, Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14, these few words carry with them some great responsibilities for the Christian. We learn about the disciples' character. We need to penetrate. We need to influence the world around us, not be influenced by it. We learn about the disciples' calling. That's the earth, the people around. Who do I teach? Well, there are people out there. You got co-workers, friends, neighbors. Just get out there and start talking about the Lord. And then there's disciples' carefulness. Be careful that you don't lose your flavor. Stay motivated. Stay zealous. Stay on fire for the Lord so that we may always make the difference that we ought to make in the world, so that more souls may be saved, and so that we may indeed be saved ourselves. Let's pray.